Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. This program is about the evolution of consciousness and how we are moving forward as a evolving civilization. And one person I've wanted to talk to for a long time is tonight's guest, Samuel Kurzweil.
Kivash.
Right. How do you say your name?
Kivash.
Kivash. Samuel Kivash. He's an old friend, though. He's a good friend. He's a sacred geometry expert. We're going to talk about that and some of the amazing community work he does. And his pendants are amazing. So anyway, Samuel, thank you for being here finally on the show.
You're welcome.
Why don't we start with the how you got into sacred geometry and how that and why it's your passion.
Okay, back in when I was in high school taking geometry classes, I had trouble doing the proofs, but I had a really strong ability in doing geometric constructions. In fact, I was between a C and a D in geometry, and on the final exam, I got 93%, which is the highest grade in the class. Only one other person got that, and the teacher accused me of cheating, and I said, who was I supposed to cheat on? And so I knew I had an ability in that regard, an innate ability. And then when I started, years later, when I started teaching sixth grade math, inner city, LA Unified School District, I was looking for a way to engage the kids in the mathematical experience, to give them a positive experience with math. So I had listened to some Drumbelow Melchizedek videos. And so I had an introduction to sacred geometry. So I created an original curriculum called Geometric Drawing, the Math Art Connection. And I taught it as a sixth grade math curriculum and as a middle school elective and also as a full out spiritual seminar for math teachers.
But
and I did
what
that
is it?
10
but
years.
But how do you define sacred geometry? What exactly are we talking about?
I'm glad you asked. Sacred geometry is a way of explaining the oneness or interconnectedness of everything in creation, everything in the universe, based on a mathematical unfoldment, a divine patterning, so to speak, that is found throughout all of creation. It's just the formula of God. It proves the existence of God. It's the oneness.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, the way things grow in nature, you know, you have a leaf that grows out of a tree, and then that leaf grows another leaf, and so then both leaves grow another leaf, and then it's 1, 1, 2, and then all three leaves grow, another leaf. So it's 1, 1, 2, 3, and then there's a progression. There's 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. It's each previous amount of leaves is added to the new level of leaves, and that becomes a ratio where the new number goes over the old number, and the higher you go up, the closer it gets to a ratio of 1.618. And that is a divine proportion. That's the Fibonacci sequence. And if we had a lot of time, I could go into that in depth.
Well, we have a lot of time. What do you mean? I mean, I understand the Fibonacci, but why is that so special?
When you connect, when you create Fibonacci rectangles based on the 1, 1, and then the 1, 2, and then the 2, 3, and the 3, 5, and you stack them around each other, and you connect the diagonals of each rectangle, you have a golden mean spiral. And that spiral is found throughout nature. It's the Milky Way galaxy spiral. It's the tornado, the hurricane. There's a similar structure that we see everywhere. In fact, I read a book by Jose and Miriam Arguelles. Jose Arguelles was the man behind the harmonic convergence in 1987. You remember?
Of course I remember. That was the first spiritual holiday that happened in this country.
Right.
Yes.
It's the last century version of 2012, where all the spiritual groups gathered throughout the planet.
Well, it actually is connected to 2012. Jose Aguayo predicted that in 25 years from 1987, there'd be this 2012 event.
There
that
you
would
go.
Be the end of time. But anyway, what about
so
him? What
I'm
about
just Jose? I'm just giving you an example here. So when I read his wife's book on mandalas, when I finished reading it, everywhere that I looked, all that I saw was mandalas for half an hour. That's my vision was totally mandalas. And that is also true of spirals. When you look for them, you see them everywhere. And you see this divine patterning and how things grow in seashells, in pine cones, in all kinds of flowers. And there's a similarity in how things express themselves. And you see that there is a divine intelligence, a patterning, interconnectedness, a wisdom that is beyond the haphazard. And you start to believe in a supreme being because you see there's a divine intelligence behind everything. That's sacred. That's geometry. That's the patterning. That's the forms of the universe, how it unfolds, no matter where or what dimension. It's always there.
So if we were to model those forms in our architecture, we'd live in more harmony, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'd be in alignment with divine intelligence, divine purpose, divine principle. And it would be like the sacred geometry is like the feng shui of geometry, of spatial arrangement. It's the deepest, most intrinsic form of feng shui.
Right. So that became your passion, huh?
Yeah, I read many books and I taught it in the LA Unified School System. It was called Geometric Drawing, the Math Art Connection. It was original curriculum where the kids did progressively more challenging exercises till they learned the skills of using a compass, ruler, and protractor to draw circles, squares, and triangles. And ultimately, I would play music and video to relax them, and then they could draw their own sacred design or own mandala.
But why is this so important for us to know?
Because so many of us are alienated and alone. And by understanding and living the principles of sacred geometry, we realize we are part of a grand design. We become a part of God. It's like literal proof that we are something. We are part of that expression.
Wow. That's great. You know, so how did this then play out in the world with your work and your jewelry and your pendants?
Okay. Well, after teaching it for 10 years, I tried an experiment. I changed the title of my workshop, which I taught to math teachers. I didn't include all the metaphysics with the kids, but with the teachers, I it was a metaphysical journey I took them on. And after 10 years, I changed the title from Geometric Drawing, the Math Art Connection to Sacred Geometry, the Math Art Connection. And I used to teach like up to 100 teachers at the California Math Conference. And all of a sudden, they didn't invite me. They didn't want me to come. And it was an experiment because I wanted to take it into the public. I had it so easy. You know, they provided the teachers the room. They paid me. And it was really easy to be cushy and just stay where I was. But I wanted to force myself to go public. So for the last 10 years, I've been doing sacred geometry workshops, PowerPoint presentations, where I explain sacred geometry, an overall introduction to it on many different levels so people understand the oneness from many angles and persuasions, and they get it on an intrinsic level. It's a very powerful experience.
But why do you think the phi ratio, why that ratio? Why is that so important? Why did nature use that particular, type of structure to create from?
Because it works.
Because
it gives us a structure. Without structure, the universe can't exist.
Right.
It's not a haphazard, random thing, as one would like to believe. It has principle. It has principles. It has structure. It has a meaning. It has an unfoldment. It has a natural one thing that leads to another, divine patterning. And without that, the whole thing would be chaos all the time.
How come science doesn't know about this? I mean, mainstream scientists.
Because they're locked into their heads. When you get too mental, you become imbalanced. And you lose the essence, the spiritual essence of life. So it's the marriage of science and spirituality where the real truth lies.
Oh, so sacred geometry is a kind of spiritualized science, would you
say? It's esoteric.
So then you got into making these pendants with these...
Well, after teaching sacred geometry for 12 years, I said, I want to find something that represents this beautiful patterning. And I had an infatuation with the Sri Yantra, because that's the ancient Vedic symbol for the Om, creation energy of the universe. Very powerful symbol. So I searched the world till I could find something I liked, and I purchased it. And I started wearing one, and I walked around Los Angeles where I live, and strangers were stopping me and saying, where can I get one? And I had been teaching for 22 years, and I looked around me and I said, you know, people are selling stuff on the internet and making money. I'm no dummy. I can do that too. And so I was like open for ideas. And so when I found this and I saw the reaction that the pendant actually sold itself because it was so aesthetically beautiful, it's the best spiritual bling out there, I started to buy it wholesale and I created a website. And the people who make the pendants in India, they're handmade, they found my website and they offered me to buy the pendants from them at a much reduced price, direct. And so I started buying them wholesale, and that's led into a wonderful relationship for the last 8 years.
What is the website again?
Sacred Pendants, plural, sacredpendants.com.
But what's your story about how you got into all of this? You know, your awakening. When did you first realize there was something like a spiritual consciousness?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I'm glad you asked it. First of all, my parents were Holocaust survivors, and my mother was looking for a way to get healthy because she had, you know, been malnourished during the war, and she discovered natural hygiene, which is in the 1951. And that's a way of living where you eat mostly raw fruits and vegetables and you live in alignment with nature. And when you're sick, you stay on water and allow nature. They notice animals, when they're sick, they lay down by the river, drink water, and rest. So the natural hygiene idea was to live, you know, have fresh air, exercise, proper rest, good mental attitude, mostly raw foods, and living in alignment with nature. So I was raised mostly on raw foods. So I was born into the holistic movement. In the 50s, I was taking fruits and nuts for lunch.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I had to trade my nuts for sandwiches if I wanted to get any so-called junk food.
But what was your awakening as a spiritual being? Yes.
I'm getting there. When I transferred to UCLA in my junior year, they had something called Experimental College. And these were classes that anybody could attend, not just the students, but anybody from the community could attend. Anybody could teach a class. And the university provided offices, rooms. And I learned about yoga, tai chi, meditation, hypnosis, all of those crazy, weird things. And I was raised an atheist. And when I discovered that, I just went bananas. It gave me a purpose for living. I asked my Tai Chi teacher, where does he get all of his energy? And he says, come with me. I'll introduce you to my teacher. And his name was Daniel Bloxham. And he used to teach all the eight major religious traditions from a spiritual perspective and tie it all back to the Kabbalah. And he did that every Thursday night for 18 years. And that woke me up. That woke me up. And so I started to believe in consciousness.
But woke you up means that you not just believe, but you must have had experiences.
Absolutely. He said, cover the whole world with God and look at the world as if God is looking through your eyes. And when I did that, walking around campus at UCLA, I would go from my little eye, which was a confused 20-year-old who didn't know where he fit in the world. I would pop into my big eye and have cosmic consciousness. And I would that would last for 2 or 3 minutes, and then I flip back into my ego self. And I go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And for about 3 years, it took me to integrate the two states.
So where are you now? Let's look at the big, well, not just you. You've been through, yes, from the 80s, 90s, 2000. You've seen the consciousness movement.
Not only did I see it, but I got involved. I created gatherings in my home every Wednesday night, 89 and 90. Every Wednesday night, I'd open up my home and make it a sanctuary. We sit in a circle, and I would relax people with music, and then there would be half hour of silent meditation. Then I would bring them out of the meditation with uplifting music, and then we'd go around the room, introduce ourselves, share any information we wanted to. Then we'd have a speaker or a movie, anything that was full of life and life positive, you know, uplifting for humanity. And then I have a whole table full of really healthy food. And the idea was that anybody that walked into my home would be uplifted on all levels, and we would all support each other.
Wow. So that went on for how long?
Year and a half, and then I rented a hall from the Quakers, and I did it on a larger scale twice a month.
So where do you think we are now, 30-something years late, as a collective? Because you also are still involved with promoting.
Yeah, and in the 21st century, you know, I changed my sacred geometry workshop to a PowerPoint from transparencies, and I started creating an email list instead of my 600 people snail mail list that I would send out every 2 months. And for most of this century, I've been sending out email blasts, and I have approximately 1,400 people. And it's not huge, but it's a dedicated list of people I've met and their friends. I haven't bought any lists. It's just people who I've connected with personally. So it's a real list. It's not a phony baloney, you know, bogus commercial list. I have 10,000 on my list. La-di-da-di-da. So, you know, people said your list should be bigger. And I haven't, like, I let it grow organically. You know, it's real. And I send out email blasts, you know, of events and healers and workshops and teachings and movies and special articles that I feel are uplifting for humanity. And that's my expression.
Yes, but I think it's great that you're doing that, and thank you. But is it changing? What do you see collectively? I mean, of course, I just saw you at Contact in the Desert. But what is your feeling about the collective consciousness of the people?
I think there's a lot of disparity. And a lot of people who think they know what's going on don't. And they act as if they know, and they get mad at people who have opposite opinions. And I think we have to rely on our intuition and our own truth, but it's not, we can't push it on other people. We have to do what works for our reality consciousness. And I tune in to my higher guidance, and I do stream of consciousness writing, and I ask my soul family and above, angels, archangels, ascended masters, God, to assist me in bringing in more love and more light and answering the questions that come up for me. And I used to tell my sixth graders in the 1990s, don't watch TV. You know, they talk about fake news. I knew it was fake news back then. And I'd say, don't watch TV. It'll mess up your head, you know. So try to think for yourself.
Well, people are addicted to their computers and their cell phone now, though.
At least when you have the computer, you can use more discernment in choosing exactly who you resonate with. It's not force-fed.
It's more addicting, though, in a way. I think it's good to get away from technology, too, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have a problem with AI, artificial intelligence, and it's a very strong force that can be used for positive and might be used by the powers that be for negative. And I think it's our job as conscious, aware people. In fact, I call myself the goodwill ambassador for the LA conscious community to help people wake up. Wake up and smell the roses and see things for what they really are. Take the red pill, escape from the dream state. And they have many ways of coercion, especially people who watch TV. They have many ways of controlling our minds. It's so sophisticated, we don't even know it's happening.
But are they waking up? Do you see the population waking up?
Well, you've heard of the cultural creative movement, I take it.
the what, say that
cultural
again,
creative movement.
Oh, cultural creative. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, so the society is broken up into three groups: culture creatives, traditionalists, and modernists. And the traditionalists are giving me the 1950s, the good old time, the Bible, the good old days, you know, the way they were when everything was perfect. At least that's the way they see it. Take me back into the past. And the modernist thinks we're going to solve everything with technology. And, you know, we can solve anything with technology. And then there is the culture creatives, who are people who are not necessarily political, but they care about the consciousness of the planet. They want everybody to have their basic needs met. And they want people to wake up and be in alignment with nature and in the environment, and to resonate with the natural flow of the universe, like when I teach with sacred geometry. And that movement has grown from 25% to, I think, over a third of the population. And back when that concept came out about 10 years or so, people were afraid to say they were cultural creatives. But now it's popular. It's like people are willing to admit that they want consciousness and they want to wake up. And I think some of the younger people are overcoming some of the problem us older people are dealing with, just by the natural evolution of society. It's hard to really track it, but I think the consciousness is growing. And as more people wake up to what is truly in alignment with nature, with universal principles, with health-loving principles, and live the good life, that we'll have, as our minds clean up, as our bodies get more clean, our minds become more clean, we think clearer, we open up our higher centers to the divine, and we get inner direction, you know, there is a chance. I'm an optimist. I just continue to work for helping people wake up.
Well, this is what we're here to do, for sure. So how do you think the future looks when we do wake up? What will the state of the consciousness be when all of us wake up?
You're asking some very good questions.
Thank you.
I'm actually going to know a lot more in a couple months from now. I'm going to a place called Damanhur, which is in Italy near Turin.
Yeah, I've been there. It's a beautiful place. Are you going, you said?
I'm going to Damanhur. I'm going to be there from August 5th to September 4th. And I'm taking a four-week training called Eco Village Design Education Training for Sustainability. And it's 4 weeks of intensive learning about all the aspects of an enlightened society. And it's something that got birth in Scotland, and they're having trainings all over the world. And this is taking place at Damanhur, and I'm looking forward to it. When I read about it, I couldn't get it out of my mind. So even though it's costing a lot of money, I'm choosing to devote my time, my money, and my energy to going there. And a lot of I think, why reinvent the wheel? I think they've learned what working formulas, you know, how to create a society where people respect each other and you're in alignment with the ecosystem and you're in alignment with each other and you live sustainably and it's empowering each other. And I believe that's the answer, that we're going to have to band with like-minded people and form communities, possibly even off the grid, you know, be self-contained, not live off the tit of being in the city where you depend on the water and the power and the electricity and the gas, you know, be self-contained, stand up like grown-up adults. And this is a method for living, you know, with other people who want to live a good life in harmony.
Well, you know, I also want to bring in the UFO factor here. How do you see it fitting in? Because, you know, that's a big part of my communities. Where do you see that off-world understanding coming into the future?
That's a very, you're asking the right questions. I think that the UFOs have prevented us from destroying ourselves. I think there have been nuclear warheads that have been launched against other countries, and they have interfered with those nuclear warheads landing because they don't want this part of the universe being destroyed, because that would upset the equilibrium of this part of the universe. And so I think they're already helping us. and they have for a long time. And I think that the ancient pyramids and temples and ley lines and the way things are patterned on the earth have to do with a higher wisdom that came to us as a gift from higher civilization. And so I think they've always been in the background, and I think there are positive UFO influences and negative extraterrestrial influences. And being an optimist, I would like to think that the positive will win out in the end, just like in Hollywood, you know, the good guys win in the end. And that there's a divine plan that's unfolding that that we need to get tuned into and be in alignment with. And the more we get into alignment with our soul purpose and what we're here to do as part of the grand plan, the more harmonious and happy we will be, because we'll be in alignment with the way things are moving in a positive direction.
Right, because this is our future. This is our so it's all about evolution and coming together as a unified consciousness, it seems. So the groups that you organize in LA and everything you're a part of, is there a shift in vibration that you're sensing, or is it still a struggle?
Sensing a lot of disparity right now.
Disparity because of Trump, you mean?
No, Trump is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sensing a lot of people are being economically stressed. Their health is under a lot of attack from the chemtrails and the pollution in the air and the water and the food and all the heavy metals that are in our bodies. It's like we have to fight the battle on all fronts, and you have to be very vigilant and you have to be determined. Otherwise, you will cave in, and it's hard. But I think that's why we have to support each other. You can't really do it alone.
Right. So, but is it harder to do that in LA? Because, you know, everyone's so, you know, in New York, it seems a little easier to form community than it did for me when I was in LA. How do you do it in LA, Los Angeles?
Well, LA, you know, you've heard of the three ring circus. Right, try the 12 ring circus. There's so much going on here that it's people get distracted very easily. And even if you have something really good, a lot of times people are their attention is diverted. Like at a party, you see all the pretty people, and you know, you try to have a conversation with someone, and your gaze is taken in by someone, and you can't pay attention. Well, I think that's what it's like being in LA. You have to be mature. You have to be committed to your higher principles and values, and you have to be vigilant. And when you see something that's really worthwhile, you invest your time and your energy in it, and you don't waste your time on a lot of superfluous nonsense, because it's out there.
But what are those higher principles? You mentioned that, but what are the actual principles?
What are the principles? Do as to others as you would have them do unto you. Come from a place of love. Never pass up an opportunity to bless someone that crosses your path. See the stranger as your friend. See the dream for what it is. It's just the cosmic dance. But play your part in it to your fullest. Be sincere. Be real.
I think you live that way. I can see you're a very decent, caring person. You seem to live that way most of the time.
You know what I tell people in LA, especially? If you want to be successful in business, all you have to do is return phone calls in a timely manner, and whatever you say you're going to do, do it. Most people, I find, cop out. They're not their word. They're too busy. They're too distracted. They don't care enough to be their word. And if people learn to see that you are real, that you stand up for your principles, you do what you say you're going to do, they start to respect you. And it's that respect that is more valuable than money, than anything, because people know they can trust you.
And that's how you try to live.
Absolutely. Why would I want to lower myself to anything else?
Well, why would anyone? I guess they get caught up in...
They got caught up in the circus. Or they're not just not mature. They might be young souls. They're enjoying the pageantry. You know, young souls, they want to go out there and fight and have experienced life fully. Some of us older souls, we've had many lifetimes where we fought and died for all kinds of weird things. And we've had enough of that. We just want to live in harmony and peace and see each other grow and glow in the light and the love and, you know, bask in the sunshine and be our highest potential. I don't think this is a prison planet. I think it's a learning planet. And we're here to achieve and gain and grow and be our absolute best self.
But it takes
shine
vigilance.
As an example, and shine. And as we raise our vibrational frequency, when we come into an environment that's negative, if our vibration is bright enough, it will uplift all those around us. So we can raise the vibration of the planet just by being who we are. We don't have to do anything.
Right. So hope, but the planet itself, I think, is helping us, is ascending. Don't you think the Earth is assisting in our evolution?
Yeah, everything evolves. Everything evolves.
But the Earth.
I think the Earth is harmonious, and it is, you know, when I give my sacred geometry presentations, I show a picture of the tropical rainforest. And I say, when you look at it from one angle, it's a bunch of trees and weeds and bushes and things growing wildly all over the place. But if you look at it, if you change the lens in your focus, you can look at that same area and see the harmony, how everything is in accordance with everything else, and there's a perfection, there's a unity, there's a dynamic, there's a sacredness to the way things relate to each other. And you have to make peace with that disparity. You have to make peace with there's a word for it, the paradox. Thank you. Memory pursuit. The paradox of the utter confusion and the perfect harmony, and they both exist simultaneously. Some people might call it parallel universes. And once you get that understanding, then you be at peace with what is, no matter what comes at you. It's not what happens to you, it's how you deal with it that makes all the difference.
It's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it that makes the difference.
No, it's how you not react to it, it's how you deal with it.
How you deal with it.
When you're in reactivity, you're at the affect. When you're in your power and you're working with it, then you create your reality in spite of whatever comes at you.
So how does sacred geometry fit into creating your reality?
Once you understand the perfection of the creation, you realize how much more important it is for you to be your highest, most advanced self. So you can be an extension of the divine. We are the fingers on the hands and the arms of God. And God is creating the universe moment by moment. And we are co-creators with God moment by moment. And once we raise ourselves to the point where we are an extension of that, you know, God creates a flower. And no matter if you're a good person, bad person, whatever, everybody gets to enjoy the fragrance of the flower. We become like the flower. We become servants of the divine. And we spread that fragrance. It's a natural thing. My wife, who's much more evolved than I am, she's constantly giving. She gives to people even when she doesn't have it for herself. That's just her nature. That's how she was raised. That's how she was born. I believe she was born awakened. And you get to that state where you become angelic, because that's just the natural evolution of consciousness. And when we make our transition, when we die, so to speak, we evolve to the vibrational level of how far we've evolved in this lifetime. Birds of a feather flock together. And so you tend to draw people on your vibrational frequency. So as you raise your frequency, you bring in people who are more in alignment with your frequency. And it becomes more joyful, more peaceful, more loving, more divine. It's beautiful. So,
but isn't everyone who's out of alignment still divine as well? I mean, why?
Absolutely.
So why did we come down and create such a mess? And then try to fix, I mean, it seems like
God gave us,
a lot of work.
Yeah, God gave us free will. And it's an experiment, it's a divine experiment. And God wanted to see what we would do with that free will. And it's our challenge to raise ourselves out of the mud. And even those that don't raise themselves up, ultimately we all will be raised up. That's the concept of the Bodhisattva. You know, you break free, but you're not free till we're all free. I don't know if I'm that evolved, but we're all heading there.
But what's in the way for you? I mean, you're talking about it, but do you feel, what do you need to do personally, if you don't mind sharing, to go to that next level, that level of total compassion or whatever? I mean, whatever. I'm just curious about your own process.
Well, I've been working very hard on myself, or that's not the word. I've been really working on myself. I just
what
finished.
What does that mean? Can you go into specifics when you say you're working on yourself?
Sure. I just finished on last Thursday a 6-month diabetic program. I had pre-diabetes, and I was taking metformin, and I signed up. It's a company called Advanced Functional Medicine, where you saw the chiropractor once a week for the first 3 months, and then once every other week for the next 3 months, and you got off your carbs and your sugars, and you took very, very wonderful supplements. And the first month, you cleaned out your liver, and then you watched your diet, and just vegetables and protein mainly, very little fruit, and you retrained. I retrained my body to be happy without all the sugar addiction, which is worse than heroin, you know. To get So it was a very hard struggle. My wife assisted me. She was supportive, and I think I'm on the other side of that, at least right now. And that's like a first major step on the physical level. You know, we all have inflammation, or many of us have inflammation in our body, especially as we get older. And that inflammation raises havoc throughout our body. So anything we can do to cut down that inflammation and clean up our diet and fill ourselves with fresh vegetables, which mineralizes our body, because you eat a lot of meat and the body pulls the minerals out of the bones, you know, and we're deficient. So I've been doing a lot of blended salads, you know.
Are you doing? How's your body responding?
I lost over 25 pounds. My A1C went down to 5.3. Which is, I'm no longer pre-diabetic. If I can maintain it, you know, I'm home free. And that's just one level. And then, you know, you have to start each day doing something life positive. You have to, you know, either meditate, either breath work, chanting, walking, swimming, weightlifting, something that is life positive to set the tone for the day. And that way, that tone follows you throughout the day, and it makes you, empowers you. And it's like giving to yourself, and then you have more to give others.
Mm. So working yourself physically, how do you work on yourself emotionally and your reactions and your, you know, how does one do that? I guess by looking at oneself, right?
Emotionally, you speak directly to people. You speak your truth. You don't try to be something you're not. Most of us wear a phony personality. You know, we're so used to the phony personality, we forget what our real self is. Just like when you do plastic surgery on our face, the face is incongruent with our soul. So when we have a personality, it's that we create out of the conditioning, it's pretty much incongruent with our true self. So you be true to yourself. You try to be, not try, you be honest with others. You be direct. You speak how you feel in the moment that you feel it. And it's not always easy to do that. And you do it in a way where you own it. You don't blame them. You say, when you do this, it makes me feel. So you're not blaming them. You're saying how it affects you. And, you know, you get in touch with the things from the past, maybe from past lives, you know, emotional disturbances, physical disturbances, challenges, and you get in touch with them and you forgive yourself for the way you judged yourself, and you release it, and you clear up your mind and your body and your emotions, and you free your spirit. and you do things that open up your higher centers, you know. You humming is a very powerful thing, you know. It's probably the most powerful thing you can do is humming.
Humming?
Yeah, humming. Jonathan Goldman just wrote a book about that. And humming, like when you go, that vibrates the entire head. It's really powerful. And you do things that free up the energy. You get body work to break up all the cartilage, all the fascia that's been tight around your but muscles and bones. My wife and I, we get body work from a myoskeletal therapist once a week, just to keep our bodies free and balanced.
Say that again? You do what every
week? We go to a myoskeletal therapist. Oh. He works on the bones and ligaments and connecting tissues of the body. You know, you might have a pain in your knee and it might come from your hip. He traces it back to where it's coming from. Just like you trace back your emotional trauma to where it came from in your youth and you free it up. So you free up these traumas from the body and you keep things fluid and flexible. I have my chiropractor friend, he lays in ice water and he finds that's very liberating. You find, you try so many things till you find what works and then you do it.
But you said he lays in ice. Is that what you said?
Ice water.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what happens when you wake up? Let's say all these things really work, or you know, clean you out. What do you think? Where do you think you're going to be? What do you think happens? Where do you go? What's your shift like?
What's my what?
No. What's the shift when you change? When you wake up, or when all this work you're doing, when you get some, how will you be different than how you?
How will I be different when I've arrived?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't think we ever fully arrive. That it's an evolving process, and we keep evolving to a higher frequency, and I think there's an infinite amount of dimensions. So it's a never-ending process till we come face-to-face with God and we merge with God and become totally God-infatuated, God-like being.
There's a place where
you no longer are fighting against others. And you're just working with yourself and you're surrendering to what is and you're being with what is. And you break through the veil into the Ein Sof, which in the Kabbalistic tradition, Hebrew, means without end. And that's a space where there's everything and nothing. It's the great void. And as you merge with that state, you become at peace with your core essence. And you have nothing to prove because you just abide in that divine grace and you become more of a servant of the divine, more service.
But are you close to that? Or, I mean, I don't know.
I've been feeling really good lately. And mind you, last winter I was depressed. I was going through, you know, the lack of light, you know, not enough light in the winter affects me, and my business was a little slow. My sacred geometry pendants were a little falling. You know, there's ups and downs in every business, and I was feeling down. I was feeling depressed, and people could hear my voice. And I made some kind of breakthrough, and I just feel really good lately. Even though my hip is a little sore because I started swimming an hour every other morning, and exercising muscles that I'm not used to exercising, and it affected my hip. And you know, even though I had that pain and soreness and limping a little bit, I feel good. My essence feels good.
So you feel this movement of evolution that's happening through you, and maybe a lot of the community, even though some of the people are very, you said, discouraged in general.
Sure.
You said.
Sure. On the surface of things, there's a lot to be discouraged about.
Right.
You have to go beneath the surface. You. beneath the surface.
But it's not affecting you because you see a bigger picture. Is that what you mean?
In a sense, in some ways, I've broken through. Remember we talked about the spiral, the golden mean spiral? Yeah. Well, life is like a spiral. And like spiral is a circle that is liberated. So you break out of that wheel that just goes around and around and doesn't grow. So you break on free from the circle and you become a spiral that evolves upward. That doesn't mean you don't have some down periods, you don't go through some physical challenges, mental, emotional challenges, but you keep working through it and you evolve and you grow and you're able to handle things more easily, with more wisdom, with more know-how. You become more functional in terms of living the good life. In spite of what comes at you.
More joy.
More joy, definitely. More. Joy, love, so light.
So we're in a kind of loop right now as collectively.
That's life. That's the loop is, the spiral is part of life.
Right.
Everything goes through ups and downs.
We're in a little bit of a down cycle here because.
For a lot of people, I don't choose to live in that mind space. Mm-hmm. It's not my choice.
Well,
so while people are feeling down, I'm going to Italy to learn, take a 4-week course and how we can build a better society.
Well, after you get back from Dominhor, can you come back on the show and talk about that?
Sure.
Because I spent about 10 days there. I loved it. It was a really beautiful community of people.
I need to tell you something, that in my 20s, I experienced a lot of emotional disturbance. Mm-hmm. And I was lonely. I was depressed. I had a lot of tremendous pain. And after I started to come out of that, I wanted to create groups where we could support each other so that people are going through that can enter the group. And the burden wouldn't just be on me, but we could all help each other in our highs and our lows. Mm-hmm. And so we had Transformational Friends of Santa Monica. So I turned my negativity into a catalyst to reach out and help other people.
Well, that's a really great lesson for people, too. That's a good one. That's really good.
Yeah, and I found that as I pulled myself out of that deep, negative, dark spiral, when I go back and visited some of my friends who were still struggling, it would pull me back into it. So I realized I couldn't help them by myself. I just couldn't.
Right.
So I wanted to create environments where anyone that walked into the environment could be supported and uplifted on all levels just because they're another brother, sister, human being. Mm. You turn your negatives. When someone's really bad to you, then, instead of attacking them or revenge, you say, oh, I feel so bad for that person, and
right.
I don't want to be like that. That's a good reminder what not to be.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. So you're going to, thank you for that. And so you're going to Dominhor to learn about spiritual community. Is that where you're going there?
Yeah. We're a place where they're doing it successfully for many years, since the early 70s. And then I'm going on to Israel, because I haven't been to Israel in 45 years, since 1971. And my sister emigrated there about close to 40 years ago. And my guidance was that it was good for me to go to Dominhor, but it was even more important for me to go to Israel, that there's something emotional that I have to experience there, some kind of emotional release or connection. Let me know.
So give me a call when you get back, for sure, okay?
Even if I don't call you, I'll see you. I see you everywhere. You're ubiquitous. You're omnipresent.
Well, yeah, you have to be in this business, how can people find you, and how can they order your products and all that?
Thank you for asking. That's very kind. First of all, I have my community email list. It's Sacred Friends. If they go to sacredfriends.org, they can sign up to be on my email list. and they can receive. Almost on a very regular basis, I send out emails that are very light positive about events and teachers and healers and seminars. And if I have a really good article or something that I feel people need to hear from my opinion, I send it out. I blast it out there. And sometimes I add my own little commentary if I feel so moved. And people seem to really enjoy it. People stop me in the street and say, thank you. I really love, you know, getting your email blasts. So that's one level. And then I have products. I have my sacred geometry pendants. I have over 60 different patterns and 5 different gemstones and two or three different sizes. And they can order them online or they can call me up. I can give my phone number if you want.
Yeah, or your website. I think people
My website, sacredpendants.com. That's one item, and we get them handmade in India by a wonderful family. And when we get them in, my wife, who's been studying gemstones and crystals for 30 years, she puts them under a crystal skull and energy grids, and she charges them up that the right pendant go to the right person, and they uplift you on all levels and balance and harmonize and help you in your life's journey. And people really feel the energy. And then I have the Miran Violet Glass, which is violetflameglass.com in honor of Saint Germain. And it's black, but when you look through the glass into the light, you see it's actually amethyst color. And it's the highest vibrational frequency of glassware that I know of.
What do you do with the glass?
Well, you put your superfoods, your oils, your nuts, your seeds, your leftovers, anything that you care about the potency of, maintaining the, even your herbs. You know, a lot of people who smoke pot, they put their pot in there and it stays fresh for longer because it blocks most of the visible light spectrum. Light decomposes things.
Because it's black glass, so that keeps
it? It's fresh. Almost black. It only allows violet, ultraviolet, and infrared to come through the glass. So it blocks
How do you make that?
It's made by a company in the Netherlands called Miran, and the smaller bottles are made in Germany and the larger ones are made in the Czech Republic. And they spent 7 years trying to find the exact right shade of violet to do this. Well, and they were doing it originally to create, they created this glass to make very potent elixirs so that once you made them and you put them in this glass, it maintained the potency. Otherwise, it loses its potency very quickly. And so they did this. They accomplished that. But the glass was so popular, they stopped making the elixirs and just sold the glass.
Yes.
And I have about 30 different sizes, and I ship all over the world. I sell wholesale, retail. This is like I retired like about almost 10 years ago, and I didn't really retire. I rewired. So I sell the violet glass. I sell the pendants. I give sacred geometry workshops, and I do the email blasts. And I work basically about half time. So it gives me time to do things like go on vacation to Damanhur. And it also gives me time to enjoy life. So I don't work full time, but I make enough so that I'm you know, comfortable.
Well, it sounds like you're doing really well and really happy. I mean, I'm glad you came on the program.
You brought it out of me.
I'm trying to create stuff like this here in New York. I'm bringing Kimberly Meredith to New York in September.
She's wonderful. She's wonderful. Yes. I work with her on a regular basis. I do marketing for her, and she does healings on me.
She's great. So maybe you could send a blast out for her New York visit or something like that.
Anything you want.
No, thank you. Thank you, Samuel. I appreciate, you know, you being a force in this community, this worldwide community, and all that you have.
And you are a force also. I remember seeing you two or three years. You led a panel at, I think it was Contact in the Desert.
Yes, it was Contact.
UFO. Yeah. And it was so fantastic that I started talking you up to all the, you know, producers of expos.
I've come out to the LA Conscious Living Expo, maybe thanks to you and some other people, because, I really appreciate that. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm a kind of person, when I see something good, I can't not share it. I'm right. the town crier, the goodwill ambassador for the LA conscious community. That's what I do. And I sell things that raise vibrational frequency. So it's all about helping to lift people up, helping to get them to their next level of spiritual development, to be a catalyst for human transformation.
That's what we're all here doing. Ram Dass says we're all just here walking each other home.
There you go. Hand in hand.
Hand, yeah, exactly. So your website again is what for your
sacredfriends.org for my email blast. Right. Sacredpendants.com for my sacred geometry pendants, earrings, and wooden crop circles, which I didn't talk about. And violetflameglass.com for my violet glassware, which is like 29 different sizes.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you. How do you say your last name again? I don't want to mess that up.
It's like car wash. Kivash.
Kivash. I've been talking to Samuel Kivash in LA, the founder of Sacred Friends. He has some beautiful pendants. Please check that out because they're sold worldwide. And if they can't find
what they want, you know, it's hard to order online. They can call me, you know, and I'll work with it. People, you know, make it easy for them.
Great. No, thanks again. Let's be in touch, okay?
You know we will.
Oh, yeah. All right, call me when you get back from Damenhor for sure.
You'll be the first one I call.
When are you getting back? I'll put it on my calendar.
September 23rd.
All right, that sounds good. Actually, that's around the time Kimberly will be in New York. I'll email you about that.
And keep up the good work that you're doing. And I have someone covering my business for me while I'm gone. And if you send an email and say, Samuel asked me to have you send this out, he'll send it out for you.
Thank you. I will send that to your email for sure.
Yeah, because we have to support each other.
And we do. That's why you're on the show. So
some things are worth waiting for.
Yeah, thanks. All right, so we'll be in touch for sure, okay?
Okay. Don't stop. The world needs you.
Nothing. We keep going. We're only halfway home. So, but I think things will get better. You know,
there's an expression that people have that say, you know, make sure I'm fully used up before I pass from this dimension.
Right. Except we're inexhaustible. So, there you go.
Yeah, that's right. When you work in alignment with the divine,
yes,
energy is infinite.
It's true. I mean, that's why I love watching Kimberly work. And
when you're living your soul purpose, your joy is infinite. And the light and the beauty of who your true essence is shines through, and you inspire other people to be the same.
Thank you. That's a good way of closing. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
Can I get a copy of this? That was pretty good.
Get a copy? Yeah, let me just sign off, and I will tell people if you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. You can check out my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/newrealities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and thank you for listening tonight.